Part 3, Chapter 1. Zit was banging around in the transport repair shop, throwing down tools, discarding parts, and generally making an agitated din. He caught sight of Turl standing nearby, and he turned on him in an instant attack.
Are you at the bottom of this pay cut?
Demanded Zit. Mildly, Turl said,
That would be the accounting department, wouldn't it?
Why is my pay been cut?
It's not just your pay. It's also mine and everybody else's.
I've got 3 times the work, no help, and now half the pay.
The planet is running at a loss, I'm told.
And no bonuses.
Turl frowned. This was not the time or place for a favor. Leverage. He had no leverage at all these days.
Been a lot of machines blowing up lately.
Zit stood and looked at him. There was more than a hint of threat in that. One never knew about this Turl.
What do you want?
I'm working on a project that could solve all this. That could get our pay and bonuses back.
Zit ignored that. When a security chief sounded like he was doing favors, watch it.
What do you want?
If it's successful, we'd even get more pay and bonuses.
Look, I'm busy. See these wrecks?
I want the loan of a small minecar puller.
Zit barked a sharp, sarcastic laugh.
Ha! There's one! Blew up yesterday down at the transshipment area. Take that.
The small, bladed vehicle had its whole canopy blown off, and the green bloodstains had dried on its panel. Its interior wiring was charred.
What I want is a small pulling truck. A simple one.
Zit went back to throwing tools and parts around. A couple narrowly missed Turl.
Well?
You got a requisition?
Well,
began Turl.
I thought so,
said Zit. He stopped and looked at Turl.
You sure you haven't got anything to do with this pay cut?
Why?
Rumor around you were talking to the planet head.
Routine security.
Ha!
Zit attacked the wrecked, bladed vehicle with a hammer to remove the remains of its pressure canopy. Turl walked away. Leverage. He had no leverage. In deep gloom, he stood in a hallway between domes, lost in thought. He did have a solution of sorts, and there were signs of unrest. He made a sudden decision. A compound intercom was near to hand. He took hold of it and called Numph.
Turl here, your planet ship. Could I have an appointment in about an hour? I have something to show you. Thank you, your planet ship. 1 hour.
He hung up, pulled his face mask off a belt hook, donned it, and went outside. Soft snowflakes were drifting down. At the cage, he went straight over to the far end of the flexi-rope and untied it. Johnny had been working at the instruction machine, and he watched Turl warily. Turl, coiling up the rope, did not fail to notice that the man-thing was now using the chair to sit in. A bit arrogant, but it was good news, really. The thing had one of its hides rigged to the bars to keep snow off a sleeping place. There was another one tented over the machine and workplace. Turl yanked at the rope.
Come along.
You promised I could build a fire. Are we going out to get firewood?
Asked Johnny. Turl yanked on the rope and forced Johnny to follow him. He went straight to the old Chinko offices and booted open the door. Johnny looked around the place with interest. They were not inside the domes. This was an air-filled place. Dust lay in a blanket and stirred as they walked through the interior. There were papers scattered about, even books. There were charts on the walls. Johnny saw that this was where the desk and chair had come from, for many just like them stood about. Turl opened a locker and brought out a face mask and bottle. He hauled Johnny close to him and slammed the mask over his face. Johnny batted it off. It was quite large. It was also full of dust. Johnny found a rag in the locker and wiped the mask out. He examined the fastenings and discovered they were adjustable. Turl was rummaging around and finally came up with a small pump. He put a fresh power cartridge in the pump, connected it to the bottle, and began filling it with air.
"What is this?"
asked Johnny.
"Shut up, animal."
"If it is supposed to work like yours, why do you have different bottles?"
Turl kept on pumping up the air bottle. Johnny threw down the mask and sat down against the locker door, looking the other way. The amber eyes slitted. More mutiny, thought Turl. Leverage, leverage. He didn't have any.
"All right,"
said Turl, disgusted.
"That is a Chinko air mask. Chinkos breathed air. You breathe air. You have to have it to go in the compound or you'll die. My bottles contain proper breathe gas. And the compound domes are filled with breathe gas, not air. Now, satisfied?"
"You can't breathe air,"
said Johnny. Turl controlled himself.
"You can't breathe gas. Cyclos come from a proper planet that has proper breathe gas. You, animal, would die there. Put on that Chinko mask."
"Did the Chinkos have to wear these in the compound?"
"I thought I told you."
"Where are the Chinkos?"
Were,
said Turl, thinking he was correcting the thing's grammar. It already spoke with an accent. High and squeaky, too. Not a proper bass. Irritating.
"They're not here anymore?"
Turl was about to tell him to shut up when a streak of sadism took over.
"No. They're not here anymore. The Chinkos are dead. The whole race of them. And you know why? Because they tried to strike. They refused to work and do as they were told."
"Ah,"
said Johnny. It came together for him. One more piece of evidence that added up to the smoke on the belt buckle design. The Chinkos had been another race. They had worked long and hard for the Cyclos. Their reward had been extermination. It bore out his estimate of the Cyclo character. Johnny looked around at the shambles. The Chinkos must have been killed a long time ago.
"See this gauge?"
said Turl, pointing to the air bottle he had now filled.
"It registers 100 when the bottle is full. As it is used up, this needle goes down. When it gets as low as 5, you're in trouble and will run out of air. There's an hour of air in the bottle. Watch the gauge."
"Seems like there should be 2 bottles and one should carry the pump,"
said Johnny. Turl looked at the air bottle and saw it had clamps on it for a mate and there was a pocket for the pump. He had not bothered to look at the labels and directions on the bottle.
"Shut up, animal,"
Turl said. But he filled a second bottle, joined it to the first, and put the pump in the slot between them. Roughly, he put the mask and rig on Johnny.
"Now hear me, animal. We are going inside the compound, and I am going to talk to a very important executive. His planet ship himself. You are to speak not one word. And you are going to do exactly what you are told to do. Understand, animal?"
Johnny looked at him through the Chinko faceplate.
"If you don't obey, all I have to do is pull your face mask loose and you'll go into convulsions."
Turl didn't like the look he always got from those ice blue eyes. He yanked the lead rope.
"Let's go, animal,"